We're turning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, commencing to read from verse number 17. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. He saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Amen. Let's just unite our hearts together in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the word of God. We thank thee, Lord, for this truth that thou hast given to us. We pray tonight, Lord, you will give us understanding of this passage. Pray you'll speak to our hearts, Lord. Oh, Lord, we come before a congregation with many and varied needs, and we need the Lord to speak. Man's voice will not suffice for this hour. And therefore, I pray, Lord, you'll empty me of self and sin. Fill me with thy Spirit and give me help and power to deliver the word of God to the glory of thy name. Lord, give listening ears, receptive hearts, souls that are willing to be obedient unto the call of God. Lord, we find here in this passage that the Savior called and the people responded. And as the Lord would call tonight through his word, I pray that not one soul will turn away. Not one soul will say no, Lord. But that tonight they'll do exactly what these men did. They left their all. They follow God. I pray, Lord, tonight you'll give deciding grace. Oh, Lord, whatever the devil will try to bring before the eyes of the sinner tonight to make them think that a life of sin is better than a life with Christ, we pray, Lord, you'll defeat it in Jesus' name. Oh, God, we pray tonight that men and women, young people, will see the reality of heaven and hell, life and death, Christ or sin. Pray, Lord, tonight you'll give help. May God be glorified in this meeting. We ask these things in Jesus' name, for his glory alone. Amen and amen. We're looking at this little passage in our study in Matthew's Gospel. And we commence there at verse number 18. Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. Now, let's not forget that every single word in Scripture has been given for a purpose. There's not too many words, there are not too few words, but rather there's enough words, but they're all important and they've been given with a purpose. You see there, it says Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. We see one, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He is walking by the Sea of Galilee. This is going to be the focus of his ministry for the incoming months. This is going to be his headquarters, as it were. He was going to keep coming back here to the town of Capernaum, just on the Sea of Galilee. But the Lord isn't just walking by the sea here to pass time. There's a purpose in this journey. There's a purpose in this journey. The Lord left wherever he was staying to walk by the Sea of Galilee, for he had a people that he wanted to call that day. Do you know that every time we preach the word of God, the Lord is in the midst? The Lord is walking through this congregation tonight. He's going from seat to seat and from heart to heart. I often think of that hymn, "Jesus is passing this way today, Jesus is passing this way." That was written by Fanny Crosby. She was born with able to see, but just a few weeks old. There was a mistake made with the treatment for her eyes, and she lost her sight. And yet she was able to spiritually discern when the Lord was passing by. You see, we're not talking here about a physical sight, but we're talking spiritually. The Lord is in this place. And every time the Bible says two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. Do you realize tonight that God is here? Do you realize tonight the creator of the world is here, the Savior hung upon the cross, he's here by his Spirit. And he's a purpose in being here tonight. He wants to speak to your heart, and he wants to speak to your soul. Just as they walked past the Sea of Galilee. You see, the Lord was interested in the individuals who had gone out that day just like any other day, treating it like any other day, going out to do their normal day's work, but the Lord was going to come and speak to them. Maybe that's how you've come to God's house tonight, just another Sunday, just another day. I'm coming to pass time. I'm coming because I've been asked here. I'm coming because it's what I usually do. My prayer is that the Lord will come by and speak to you. The Lord knew who these people were. He knew their names, he knew their relationships with each other, father and son and brother. He knew their backgrounds, he knew their occupation, he knew their hearts, he knew what he had prepared for them after he was going to call them by name. And the wonderful thing is this, Jesus knew these men before, not even just before he called them, but before this world existed, Jesus knew these men. He set his love upon them. He left heaven to die for them. To reach them with the gospel, he gave himself to redeem them. I wonder tonight, if you're not saved, do you realize that when God calls you, and he calls you through every gospel message you hear, when God is calling you, he knows you. He knows every sin, and he knows all the guilt and the shame that come with those sins. He knows the transgression of a life of sin. And he knows all of the sins that you've long forgotten about. He knows you tonight. He knows everything about you, the very darkest secret of your heart. And yet, he calls you. He left heaven to suffer as a guilty one in the sinner's place on Calvary. That's the one that calls you tonight. By faith, we can see the outstretched hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the nail marks there that speak of him being crucified to a cross and shedding his blood. The nail-scarred Savior tonight is calling you. He's the one who loves you. He's the one that wants what's best for you. And tonight he's calling you. Child of God, whenever the Lord calls you to do something for him, remember this truth, he knows you. He knows you. And sometimes God calls individuals who are saved to do something for him. And the automatic response is, but I couldn't do that. I don't have the capability to do that. But remember, the God who calls you is a God who will equip you. And who will give you everything that you need, the ability and the power to do what he has asked you to do. And I wonder tonight in this meeting, are there some of God's people and God has called you to do something and you have not yet done it? Maybe the Lord has been prompting you in recent days to pray publicly. Maybe during the week of prayer. Remember, he'll give you grace to do it. Don't say, I can't do that. If the Lord's putting it in your heart, he'll give you grace. Maybe the Lord's been prompting you to do outreach this year through our congregation. He'll give you grace to do it. Maybe the Lord's been speaking to you to speak to a family member or a neighbor, invite them to the services, and say, I couldn't do that. God will give you grace to do it. Maybe the Lord has been calling you, dear child of God, to turn away from a particular sin. And you're like, I can't. He will give you grace to do it. I want us tonight to look at the call that the Lord Jesus gave. Verse number 19. Jesus saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And there's three simple thoughts we have here in this call. The first part of this call is the word, follow me. Now, in the original, in the Greek, the words follow me could be translated or would have sounded to the people there as the words, come hither. Come hither and follow me. You see, this word that's translated follow is translated come in many other parts of God's word. For example, in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's the thought of come after me, follow me, and I'll bring you into a place of rest, for you need rest for your soul. And you know, sometimes God's people get so busy in the work of God and they get tired and they get weary, and the Lord says unto them, follow me, come after me, and I'll give you some rest in the journey. Now, of course, you have to be working before you can start resting. But for those who are working and those who are laboring, the Lord sometimes says to us, come aside and rest. Then he said also in Mark's Gospel 6, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And the Lord would say, even to God's people, take care of yourself. Make sure you have time to eat. Make sure you have time to rest. Make sure you have time to sleep. Remember once in Bible college, one of our lecturers saying, you know, you hear young men and you can understand what they mean and you can understand their sin. Say, I want to burn out for God. I just want to burn out for God. And he said, why do you want to burn out for God? Why do you not want to be healthy for God? Why do you not want to be useful for God for longer by taking care of yourself and not neglecting your health? Then there's a lady of Samaria, and she said in John 4, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? And in her saying, come see this man, she was saying, come follow me and I'll bring you to him. Friend, that's what we need to be saying to our friends and our family and our neighbours and our loved ones. Come see a man. Come hear of a man. The Lord gives the invitation through the parable in Matthew 22, come unto the marriage. The word again is come follow me. You follow the Lord, you'll be led to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then the final one I just want to share with you is this. In Matthew 25, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You see, for those who have obeyed the call to follow the Lord into salvation, they will also receive the call to follow Christ into heaven, into the place that's prepared for them that love him. Now, when we come to this portion of God's word, we find that the word follow, or the word come after me, is used here. But notice who we are to follow. It is to follow Christ. Follow Christ. You see, the reality was, these men were following something or someone. And everybody in this meeting tonight is following. You're going after something. You're going after a way of life. And the word of God makes it clear that if you're not following Christ, then you're following Satan. If you're not in the narrow road with the Lord, then you're in the broad road that leads to eternity in hell. We're born naturally following sin. We're born naturally with a sinful nature. And therefore, we're not following Christ. And we must make a point in our life to turn away from our sin and to start following him at his call and at his command. Why should I follow Christ? You may be asking tonight. Why should I change my life? And why should I turn from my sin? And why should I follow this man called Christ? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. And he's the only way to peace with God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to face death unafraid and ready to meet God. There's no other way and there's no other one. Now, every religion will promise you heaven and salvation and peace. But only Christ gives it. Only Christ gives it. You see, this work of Scripture and this salvation and this gospel, it's not a religion. It's the only way to reach the living God. It's a relationship with God. And you do not need religion. You do not need a church. You need a Savior. And there's only one Savior that came to die in the place of sinners. The God-man Christ Jesus. There's only one who was worthy to die in the place of sinners. There's only one whose blood was pure and precious and could save us. And as the children's chorus says, one way God said to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. And if you follow Christ tonight, you'll be led to the cross. But don't leave this meeting tonight thinking it's well between you and the Lord if you're not following Christ. Don't leave this meeting tonight thinking that somehow you'll make it to heaven if you have not come to Christ. Don't leave this meeting tonight thinking somehow God is smiling upon your life right now if you're in your sin and you're still rejecting Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ says to you tonight, follow me. Now, something else we notice here in this words, follow me, is that Jesus Christ is the only one to follow in our walk with God. And I long that God's people would see this tonight. Christ is the only one who is worthy to be followed. The Lord gives examples of extraordinary faith and godliness in scriptures. In the men's meeting just last month, we were considering the Gentile centurion. And there in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 9, as he pleaded for the healing of his servant, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Isn't it interesting that the Lord Jesus held up a Gentile, a Roman, and he said, this is the greatest faith I've seen in this land. It wasn't actually a Jewish person. Remember the little widow who gave her mite, and what did the Lord say? She hath done what she could. But nowhere in Scripture are we told to follow the Roman centurion, and nowhere in Scripture are we told to follow that widow. There are many great witnesses who've gone before us. And while we're blessed in our lives to know godly people, we thank God for them. Listen, Scripture says, follow Christ. Follow Christ. And there have been times in people's lives that they followed men. And they have followed men, and men have disappointed them. And as a result, they've been knocked off course, spiritually speaking. And the great problem was that they did not have their eyes on the right person. There's not one person in this meeting tonight that will live a perfect life from now until they get to heaven. And I'll put my hand up and say, I'll be the first. And folks, you follow my life and you seek to follow me and live the way I live, then you'll see and be disappointed. Because I'm a man and many times feel. But the Bible doesn't tell you to follow me. The Bible tells you to follow Christ. And he will never fail, and he will never forsake you. He will not be a disappointment. He'd be the perfect one. He'd be the pure one. He'd be the holy one. Now we all are to strive after that. Of course we are. But even the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, when he talked about people following him, he put in the stipulation, insofar as I follow Christ. Yes, if you see something godly in someone's life, seek that that would be true of your life too, but don't follow that person wholeheartedly. Follow me. And tonight there are people and they've got their eyes on a man. And I tell you, you get your eyes on a man, you'll be disappointed. I don't care who it is. And I read a quote this week and I thought it was very good. It said, don't put your preacher on a pedestal where he can fall from a great height, but put him in your prayer list where you can pray for him. And that's a wonderful thing. And I need your prayers, and your brothers and sisters need your prayers, because we want to live for the Lord. But ultimately, we follow God. We follow Christ. I want to ask you a question tonight. Has the Lord called you to follow him? Is there someone in this meeting and you're not saved tonight, and yet you know within your heart that there was a time in your life when the Lord called you by name? Said, follow me. Maybe it was in a gospel meeting or in a mission. The preacher was preaching, and the songs were being sung, and the appeal was being made, and within your heart you knew the Lord was calling you. Maybe you tried to hide the tears running down your face because you didn't want to be embarrassed. People saying that you were under conviction. Maybe it was when you were lying in bed at night. And as you thought over the things of life and maybe about the future, what would it be like to die and go into eternity? You knew that the Lord was calling you to follow him. Maybe it was at a funeral service. Maybe as you stood round the open grave and you saw the coffin being lowered in. And nobody else heard the voice, but within your heart you heard the words, "Follow me." You need to be saved. You need to turn from your sin and you need to trust me. Maybe it was at Sunday school. Maybe it was in the middle of the world. Maybe it was out in a bar or a nightclub. And there was a great conviction fell upon your soul like that. And you felt uncomfortable. And you wanted to get out of there. And you got over it. And you're still in your sin. But the Lord's called you. I'm going to ask you tonight, has the Lord called you to follow him? And my next question is this, are you following him? Are you following him? The next part of this call is not just follow me, but it says follow me and I will make you. There's many a person says, I don't want to get saved because I couldn't keep it. I couldn't live as a Christian. I couldn't do the things that are expected of me. Nowhere in Scripture is a man, a woman, a boy, or girl told to live a certain way in order to earn favor with God. No, here's what the Bible says about this salvation. The Lord saves you and the Lord transforms you. You see, here's what the Lord says in this call. Follow me and I will make you. And when we follow Christ, and when we turn away from our sin and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior, he will transform us. The salvation that is evidenced in a sinner following Christ is not just a profession and then going on sinning the way they did before. No, that's not of the Lord. There will never be sinless. But if there's no hatred towards sin and no putting away of sin at all, then there's no salvation. If there's no hatred of sin in your life and no move to put away sin in your life, there's no salvation. Because the Bible speaks of faith and repentance. You can't have faith without repentance. You can't have repentance without faith. You can't have one without the other. And true faith will always be accompanied by true repentance. If you said a prayer and your life never changed, friend, you're not saved. And you need to get saved tonight. The salvation that's evidenced in a sinner following Christ is not professing to be saved and then telling lies. That's not salvation. It's not a profession to be a Christian and then hurting the work of God. It's not a profession to be a Christian and then hurting the people of God with an uncontrollable tongue. It's not a profession to be a Christian and then a nasty spirit that puts self first with no thought of others. Read your Bible carefully. These works are works of ungodliness. They're works of evil. They're works of darkness. And if they are in your life, you either need to repent from such behavior as a Christian or you need to get saved. But don't tell me you're a Christian going on with God and living, hurting the work of God, hurting the people of God, or with a nasty spirit. You see, the salvation that this of the sinner that Christ offers is a transforming work. Now, we can't do this ourselves. Christ does what we cannot do. You see, whenever you get saved, there'll be a love for new things. Christ puts that there. There'll be a love for new things. Whenever we get saved, Christ will put within our heart a desire for new things. Whenever we get saved, Christ will put within our heart valuing new things. Things that we thought weren't important before, we'll think they're precious. Things that we thought were, so important before, we'll think they're worthless. You know why? Because the Lord will put it within our heart. He'll transform us. He'll make us a new creature in Christ. All things pass away. All things become new. Whenever we get saved, the Lord puts within our heart a desire to be engaged in new things. Our activities will be different. And he works within us by his Spirit. Now, these things that I'm talking about, loving new things, desiring new things, valuing new things, engaging in new things. I am not saying you need to do those things to be saved. I'm saying you need to be saved, and then the Lord will do that in your life. You know, before many people in this room were saved, they maybe knew people who went to a prayer meeting and they thought, what a waste of time on a weeknight to go to church for an hour, to get dressed up, go to church and sit and pray. What a waste of time. But you see, when they got saved, there was a desire to be there. There was a love to be there. And I would say to every Christian, if there isn't a love to be in the place of prayer, be very careful. And pray the Lord would give it to you. You see, the Lord doesn't ask us to make our lives better. But as we follow him, he transforms us. See that little statement, I will make. That's a beautiful word. It's one word in the original. I will make. It means to bear. The Lord will bear you. It means to bring forth. The Lord will bring you forth in the way which he desires you to be. It means to cause. The Lord will cause you to become the person he desires you to be. It means to be content. The Lord will give you a contentment in Christ. And in walking with him. It means to be fulfilled. The Lord will cause your life to be fulfilled as he transforms you. There's no joy like being saved and walking in the center of the will of God. Sinner, you know nothing about joy. You know nothing about contentment. Just lying in the arms of God and rejoicing in his will for your life. It's a wonderful life. It's a joyful life. I will make it means to hold. The Lord will hold you in his hand as he transforms you. I will make it means to observe. The Lord will always have his eye upon you and watch you through life. I will make it means to perform. The Lord will perform in you what he desires. He's going to make you into the man or woman or boy or girl he wants you to be. It means to work. The Lord will work in your life and make you into the person he wants you to be. And praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ can transform your life tonight. Maybe there's some dear Christian and you're caught up in sin and the devil would lie and say, you have no victory over that. And you'll just keep going down that road and feeling. And the devil tempts you to do something. And the minute you do it, you feel. And then he accuses you of doing it. And you feel awful and you feel guilty and you feel ashamed. Listen, Christ can transform you tonight. Stop trying yourself. Go to the Lord. And let him know what the problem is. And ask him to deliver you. And ask him for victory over it. Because praise God, he can transform you. And friend, that's what the Lord calls you to do tonight. He calls you to come to him, to follow him. And he will make a difference in your life. Does that mean you'll have plenty of money in the bank? No. Does that mean you'll always have your health? No. Does that mean you'll have a multitude of friends and be the most popular person in Mockerfeld? No, it doesn't. But I'll tell you this, he'll bless you spiritually. You'll be richer than any millionaire. You'll have more worth within your heart than any man upon this earth has in his bank account. You see, the world would seek to say to us, the moment is important, live in the moment. The present is important. Live in the present. The material is important. What you can get and what you can be. No, the Word of God says, oh, that they would be wise. Oh, that they would consider their latter end. Friend, you might have everything this world has to offer, but if you don't have Christ, you've nothing and you'll lose your soul. And here in this call, the first part of the call is, follow me. The second part of the call is be transformed by the Lord. Then the third part of this call is fishers of men. See, the Lord has a task here for them. The Lord's going to take their natural ability and experience and put it to good spiritual use. The Lord was going to use these men at home, first of all, in and around Galilee, and then further afield in later years. The Lord was going to teach and to train them through his word. He was going to let them learn from their mistakes. He was going to praise them when they got it right. He was going to highlight their misunderstandings. He was going to deal with their sinful attitude at times. See, the Lord was going to train these men. And is that not what still the Lord does today? You see, we need those things in our lives. We need the teaching of the Lord. He does that today. We need to learn from our mistakes, don't we? And sometimes the Lord allows us to make the mistakes that we might learn from them. The Lord honors us when we walk well with him. The Lord highlights the times we're wrong and misunderstandings, and we can look back at times in our lives we thought, well, this is right and this is true. And then the Lord showed us what was right and what was true through his word, and we realize and we learn from that. Sometimes the Lord has to deal with our sinful attitude at times, even as the people of God. He can do that in many ways, through conviction, through instruction, and sometimes whenever, friend, we do not listen and we keep going on hard-hearted, he can put us on our back for a little while, that we might learn to trust him and live the way he's called us to live. You see, the Lord was going to use these men to win souls for heaven. And tonight in this meeting, if you're saved, the Lord has a job and a work or a ministry for you to be engaged in. If you're not saved, the Lord wants to save you and give you a work or a ministry or a job to be engaged in. And you might think, oh, is it the mission field? Is it here? Is it there? Let's get back to basics. Let's understand Scripture. Your first responsibility in the Word of God is to be the most godly person you can be in the place where God has called you to be. So therefore, if you're married, you're to be a godly husband or a godly wife. And friend, that is working for the Lord. If you're a parent in this meeting tonight, your responsibility is to be the most godly parent you can be. If you're a child who's saved tonight, your responsibility is to be the most godly child you can be. Now, none of these are going to be perfect, or none of us are going to be perfect. But we serve the Lord and we work for the Lord whenever we try our best to live for him. If you're a church member, you ought to seek to be the most godly, encouraging church member you can be. If you're an employer or an employee, be the best spiritually. If you're a friend or a neighbor, be the best friend, be the best neighbor, be the most spiritual you can be. And then the Lord will call you to do something else and call you to do something else. Don't think you can live neglecting your duties as a husband or wife and then work for God. Don't think that you can work or live as a parent who neglects their children, or a child who has no love or honor for their parents, and think God will use you. Don't think you can live or work, in a church or be a part of a church and cause havoc and trouble and division and discouragement and think God will use you. Don't think you can be an employer or an employee who does not honor the Lord in the workplace and that God will use you. Do not think you can be a bad friend or a bad neighbor and God will use you. Let's put first things first. Let's be real. Let's be honest. If we have no testimony at home or in the workplace or in the church, then we'll not be used by the Lord. And we need to do it to the best of our ability as unto the Lord. Why should I do my best for my children? Because you're doing it unto the Lord. Why should I do my best for my husband or wife? Because you're doing it unto the Lord. Why should I go to work tomorrow and work for that person who doesn't appreciate me, maybe not pay me enough? I'll tell you why. Because you're doing it unto the Lord. And that makes it a lot different, doesn't it? And then when he calls us to do a specific work, whatever that work is, maybe he's calling you to go into full-time service. Maybe he's calling you to go into a work in this congregation. Maybe to do outreach in Tobermore in a few months' time. Then do it gladly and proceed prayerfully. Think of the potential in this building tonight. Think if everyone was saved and serving. Remember reading statistics about people coming to church. How do people come to church? How did they first come to church? And in the survey that was done, over 92% of people, 92% came for the first time because a friend or a neighbour or a family member asked them. 92%. And as this is Fishers of Men, and the thought is seeing souls won for Christ, just as we close tonight, I want to ask this question: why is it so hard to speak about the Lord? These men were called, and the job was no longer to be fishers of fish, but fishers of men. And this was going to involve speaking to people. Why is it so difficult to speak to people about the Lord? Well, I believe there are three reasons. Number one, the greatest reason is fear. Fear. Well, there's fear of rejection, isn't there? It's not nice to be rejected. And if we ask somebody to come to church, or we ask somebody about the Lord, and they close us off, or they slam the door on our face, and it's happened, it's not nice. And there's a fear of that. Maybe a fear they'll ask me a question I don't know how to answer. Maybe a fear of being labelled or mocked or embarrassed. And we do have those fears. Moses had those fears. As the Lord spoke to him to go down to set the children of Israel free, Moses had those fears. But for every excuse that Moses gave in his fear, the Lord gave him an answer. And it got to the point in Exodus that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Why? Because he kept making excuses not to go and reach those who needed a Savior. Another reason we can find it hard to speak to people about the Lord is that we're not walking right ourselves. That's probably the biggest one. Because if we're not walking right ourselves, there'll be a lack of confidence. There'll be no prayer or zeal because of sin, and if there's no interest, then we're not walking right. We need to pray that God will forgive our sin and take away our hard-heartedness. There can sometimes be a lack of vision or a lack of realization that people around us need Christ. And the people beside you need the Lord. Read your Bible. See the emphasis on reaching individuals for Christ. Pray to the Lord to increase your burden for souls. Realize what's important in life. Christian, you can sit beside someone in your workplace who's unsaved for 30 years. It doesn't matter what size of television you have, what type of car you drive. If you have failed to reach that person or speak once about the Savior or invite them to a place of worship or invite them to a mission or a gospel meeting, what have you been doing? You've lost the vision. Pray God will give you a vision. And I'll tell you why. Because someone told you about Jesus. Someone told me about the Lord. That's why we're saved tonight. Someone thought it was worthwhile coming to this church, into a Sunday school class, to study, to pray, to present the gospel to me. That's how I know the Lord. Someone told them about you. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for me whenever we didn't know our need. Whenever we weren't interested, somebody prayed for us. Somebody knew. Somebody told us. Surely it's our duty to tell others. Hell is a real place. Hell is a real place. We sometimes see in advertising, we see a little animation of the devil, his little red figure with a pitchfork and it's not a scary thing to look at. It's just a normal thing. And in all these things, it seems to be that they're dumbing down the fear and the reality of hell. Hell's a real place. In hell tonight, there are those who've died without the Lord. In hell tonight, there are those in the agony of the fires of hell for eternity. The Bible speaks about utter darkness. It's not a place of reunions. The Bible speaks about a place where there's no rest. The Bible speaks about a place where you have full memory and recollection. The Bible speaks about a place of torment and a place of punishment. A friend, if the Lord saved you, surely he ought to desire others to be saved. And then remember this, God can and will save, and God can use you. God can use you. God can use you. As we close tonight, I want us to look at the response. And it says there, verse number 20, straightway they left their nets and followed him. And then the Lord went on, and James and John were called in the very same way. Verse 22, and immediately they left the ship and their father, and they followed him. It's effectively the same word in the Greek. One way it's translated straightway. Another way it's translated immediately. In other parts of Scripture, it's translated as the word at once. As soon as the call was made, they came. They heard. They responded. They were transformed by Christ. They were used by Christ. And tonight, they're in glory. And I ask you tonight, will your life count for eternity? Will it make an impact on others? Or have you never tried to work for Christ? If you pray, the Lord will use you. And if the Lord calls you to do something or to speak to someone, then you follow him in that call and be assured that he will bless you. But tonight in God's house there are those, and it's not working for Christ we need to speak to you about, it's following him. And whatever it is that's holding you back from following Christ, I want to tell you tonight it's not worth it. Whether it's a relationship, whether it's sin, whether it's finances, whether it's your plans for your life, I'm telling you tonight, there is nothing worth going to hell over. There is nothing worth losing your soul. There's nothing worth the end of sin. And tonight the Lord is saying to you, follow me. Will you follow the Lord tonight? Will you say, Lord, I will follow you. I'm going to leave my sin tonight, and Lord, I desire you put it under the blood. I desire tonight, Lord, to be free. I desire tonight to be saved. I desire tonight to know you in a personal way. Friend, you cry unto the Lord tonight and he will save you. In the seat where you're sitting, call on the Lord. And he will save you now. I want you to take your hymn books, and we're going to sing our invitation hymn tonight. And the hymn is 249. 249, and you'll know the tune. Whoever receiveth the crucified one, whoever believeth on God's only Son, a free and a perfect salvation shall have, for he is abundantly able to save. Can he save me? Yes, he can. I'm just a child. Yes, he can save you. I've lived my life long without him. Yes, he can save you. I've been in the most wicked of places and experiencing the most wicked sin. He can save you. Look what it says in the chorus, my brother or my sister, the master is calling for thee. His grace and his mercy are wondrously free. His blood as a ransom for sinners he gave. And he is abundantly able to save. You see, it's only through the blood. That day he was crucified on the cross of Calvary. The blood flowed to save sinners like you. We're going to stand, sing this hymn together, then remain standing for prayer. Let's stand and sing, whoever. Together in prayer, and just going to quote that final verse that says, whoever repents and forsakes every sin and opens his heart for the Lord to come in, a present and perfect salvation shall have, for Jesus is ready this moment to see you. And I stand before you tonight, and with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I tell you, this is the only moment I can offer Christ to you. Because the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Should you leave this meeting tonight and God call you out into eternity, are you saved? Are you ready to go? Friend, if you're not, don't leave without Christ. Don't leave without the Savior. Because he's ready and he's willing. He's able to save you. I'll be at the door, and if you want to speak to me, just let that be known. We can go into a room and speak about the things of God. But I'm telling you this tonight, should be the last thing I ever say to your soul. There is nothing, nothing, nothing more important than being saved. Heavenly Father, take what has been of thee tonight. Write it upon hearts and save. What has been of man, let it fall to the ground. Speak, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.